Hello, this podcast is part of the Argekunz public program Soil Times for 2021, curated by BAU. The present series is titled Reading Rivers, an ongoing reading group that expands on the exhibitions and artistic practices shown at Argekunz. You will now listen to selected texts discussed during the reading group. The texts relate to the exhibition program and are read through the lens of soil and its relationship to human life.
Excerpt from Più della Bella Casa, Maria, 2017, Soil Times, In Matters of Care, Speculative Ethics and More Than Human Worlds, Post-Humanities, Minnesota, University of Minnesota Press, pages 169 to 170, pages 188 to 193, and pages 195. Human-soil relations are a captivating terrain to engage with the intricate entanglements of material necessities, affective intensities, and ethico-political troubles of caring obligations in the more-than-human worlds marked by techno-science. Increasingly, since the first agricultural revolutions, the predominant drive underlying human-soil relations has been to pace their fertility with demands for food production and other needs, such as fiber or construction grounds. But at the turn of the 21st century, Earth soils regained consideration in public perception and culture due to global anti-ecological disturbances. Soils are now on the list of environmental matters calling for global care. The Food and Agricultural Organization of the United Nations declared 2015 the International Year of Soils, expressing concerns for this finite, non-renewable resource on a human timescale under pressure of processes such as degradation, poor management, and loss to urbanization. Soils have become a regular media topic, drawing attention to the hidden world beneath our feet. A new frontier for knowledge and fascination about the life teeming in this dark alterity. Human persistent mistreatment and neglect of soils is emphasized in calls that connect the economic, political, and ethical value of soils to matters of human survival. Recent headlines by environmental analysts in the UK press reiterate this. We're treating soil like dirt. It's a fatal mistake as our lives depend on it. Or peak soil, industrial civilization is on the verge of eating itself. Warnings proliferate against a relatively immediate, gloomy future that could see the global exhaustion of fertile land with correlated food crises. So while soils remain a source of value extraction for human consumption and a recalcitrant frontier of inquiry for science, they are also increasingly considered endangered living worlds in need of urgent ecological care. I end this speculative exploration of meanings of care in more than human worlds by beginning another research journey grounded in the specific landscape of ecological care for the soil. In this book, I have worked from and for a vision that embeds care relations in mundane doings of maintenance and repair that sustain everyday life rather than on moral dispositions. It is partly because of the devalued significance of care that feminist research on practices of care is often oriented by an ethico-political commitment to investigate the significance of neglected things, practices, and experiences made invisible or marginalized by dominant, quote, successful techno-scientific mobilizations. This way, paying attention to practices of care can be a way of getting involved with glimpses of an alternative livable relationalities with other possible worlds in the making, alter ontologies at the heart of dominant configurations. In this spirit, the critical inquiry into human-soil relations of care presented in this chapter is not so much driven to debunk the productionist subjection of soils, but by an aspiration to engage speculatively with imperceptible tendencies that could be troubling and reworking these dominant relations from within by transforming everyday soil care. So, like all other chapters, this one is written from the partiality of a speculative commitment. Thinking with care as a way to elicit conceptions and practices that have the potential to disrupt the reduction of soil to a resource for humans. attention to ways in which notions of soil care could potentially be transformed in these times of environmental unsettledness brings to light possible alternative practical, ethical, and effective ecologies. I therefore engage with soils as matters of care. Human-soil relations of care with soil ontologies are entangled. What soil is thought to be affects the ways in which it is cared for, and vice versa. Modes of care have effects in what soil become. The living soil becoming in the food web. As part of the ecological turn, soil ecology research has become more important at the heart of the soil sciences, concentrating on relations between biophysical, organic, and animal entities and processes. Moreover, a number of accounts of the discipline's development in the past 10 years connect the growing significance of the ecological perspective with the moving of biology to the center of a field traditionally dominated by physics and chemistry. In this context, it is remarkable how a notion of living soil, once mostly associated with organic and radical visions of agriculture, is now mainstream. This does not mean that soil science traditionally conceived of soils as inert matter. Even conceptions of soil as reservoirs of crop nutrition focus on lively physiochemical processes and interactions. Also, soil microbiology has been a crucial part of soil science since its early beginnings, as well as important precursor work on soil biology, such as Charles Darwin's work on earthworms. This does not mean either that biology and ecology support environmentalism per se, or that other disciplinary orientations in soil science must now be connected to biology. The noticeable changing trend is the increased significance of biota, from microbial to invertebrate fauna, and of course, plants, roots, and fungi, in the very definition of soil. That this has not been an obvious move is attested by ecologists who claim for a change in soil's definitions. Are living organisms part of soil? Would we include the phrase "with its living organisms" in the general definition of soil? Thus, from our viewpoint, soil is alive and is composed of living and non-living components having many interactions. When we view the soil system as an environment for organisms, we must remember that the biota have been involved in its creation, as well as adapting to life within it. Coleman, Crosley, and Hendricks, 2004. In this conception, soil is not just a habitat or medium for plants and organisms, nor is it just decomposed material, the organic and mineral end product of organism activity. Organisms are soil. A lively soil can only exist with and through a multi-species community of biota that makes it and contributes to its creation. One of the most significant aspects of these changes in conceptions of soil is a growing interest in investigating biodiversity as a factor of soil fertility and system stability. This goes beyond biological interest. For instance, the recognition of the importance of large pores in soil structures gives a central place to increased research on soil fauna, such as earthworms, which some have named the soil engineers. In the words of a soil physicist, as the appreciation of ecological relationships in soil science developed after the 1970s, studies on the role of soil animals in the decomposition process and in soil fertility have been more common. More research focuses on the loss of soil biodiversity after alterations and on the ecological significance of soil health for non-soil species. A number of soil scientists are now engaged in drawing attention to biodiversity in soils as part of educational campaigns and soil fertility projects worldwide. Soils have become a matter of concern and care, not just for what they provide for humans, but for ensuring the substance of soil communities more broadly. These developments are not disconnected from worries about the capacities of soil to continue to provide services. A range of calculations are deployed to value the services of biota, or form a notion that accounts for soil fertility according to its abilities to provide yield. Production continues to be a concern, as the loss of organic matter diminishment or disappearance of groups of the soil biota and the accompanying decline in soil physical and chemical properties are identified as important causes of yield declines under long-term cultivation. However, these approaches bring significant hesitations at the heart of a conception of soils as physicochemical input compounds. Soils as living, for instance, create other questions about effects of human interventions to technologically enhance impoverished soils, however well-intentioned. For example, agrochemical inputs can benefit crop yield, but soil communities can face long-term destabilization or destruction, making soils and growers dependent on fertilizers. Also, the protection of soil structures connects to a generalized re-evaluation of tillage in agriculture and other technologies that alter and destroy fragile and complex soil structures. In sum, exploiting soil species for production threatens to destroy the living agents of this very productivity. Once again, reconceptualizations of soil as living emphasize how productionist practices ignore the complex diversity of soil renewal processes in favor of linear temporalities aimed at speeding up abundant output. It is the nature of soil itself and ways to care for it that are at stake in these moves. Attention to soil as living multi-species world involve changes in the ways humans maintain, care, and foster this liveliness. So how does this affect temporal involvements in caring for the soil as a multi-species world? I approach these through the example of the food web, an ecological model of soil life that, having become popular in alternative growers' movements, thrives at the boundaries of soil science. Food web models are not new, but they became increasingly prominent in soil ecology after the 1990s. Food web models are valuable for scientists to describe the incredibly complex interactions between species that allow the circulation of nutrients and energy. They follow predation and eating patterns, as well as energy use and processing. Soil food web species can include algae, bacteria, fungi, protozoa, nematodes, arthropods, earthworms, larger animals such as rabbits, and of course, plants. They describe not only how species feed on Earth, but how one species' waste becomes another one's food. Food web conceptions of soil question the use of artificial fertilizers, pesticides, and intensified agricultural models more generally. This is because their web-like interdependent configuration means that altering or removing any one element can destroy them. Often conceptualized as soil communities, even as they are based on trophic relations, who eats whom, food web models emphasize a living world below, teeming with life and yet always fragile. Soil ecology is, of course, not a unified domain, and while rich in holistic models of life cycles, it is also rich in reductionisms. If I am lured by moves that see soil as a multi-species world, it is for how they could affect not only the nature of soil itself, but also the ways humans maintain, repair, and foster soil's liveliness. That is, the agencies involved in more than human webs of care. Interdependent models, such as the food web, disturb the unidirectionality of care conceived within the linear timescapes of productionist time traditionally centered in human crop care relations. Relational approaches to the cycles of life soil in themselves can be read as disruptions to productionist linear time, simply because ecological relations require taking a diversity of timescales into account. Yet food web models also affect relations to soil for how they turn humans into full participant members of the soil community, rather than merely consumers of its produce or beneficiaries of its services. It is the emphasis on the interdependency of soil communities that is appealing for exploring more than human care as an imminent obligation that passes through doings and agencies involved in the necessary maintaining, continuing, and repairing of flourishing living webs. Remembering discussions in previous chapters around the non-reciprocal qualities of care, we see that while care often is represented as one-to-one practice between a carer and a cared for, it is rare that a carer gets back the care that she gives from the same person who she cares for. Carers are themselves often cared for by someone else. Reciprocity of care is asymmetric and multilateral, collectively shared. A caring conception of soil emphasizes this embeddedness and relations of interdependency. Caring for soil communities involves making a speculative effort toward the acknowledgement that the human carer also depends on the soil's capacity to take care of a number of processes that are vital to more than her existence. Thinking multi-species models such as food webs through care involves looking at the dependency of the human carer not so much from soil's produce or service, but from an inherent relationality. This is emphasized by how the capacities of soil and food webs refer to a multilateral relational arrangement in which food, energy, and waste circulate in non-reciprocal exchanges. Food webs are therefore a good example to think about the vibrant ethicality in webs of interdependency, the asubjective but necessary ethos of care circulating through these agencies that are taking care of one another's needs and more than human relations. A care approach needs to look not only at how soils and other resources produce output or provide services to humans, but also at how humans are specifically obliged, how they are providing. The capacity of exhausted global soils to sustain these webs of relations has become more dependent on the care of humans put in them. In resonance with anthropocenic narratives that acknowledge the impact of situated human actions on the making of Earth, what the above conception might require is not only for organisms, but also for humans to be included more decisively in the concept of soil. Here, in turn, changing ways in soil care would affect soil ontology. Coming back to the redefinition of soil as living, we could include a rephrasing such as, when we view the soil system as an environment for humans, we must remember that humans have been involved in its creation as well as adapting to life within it. Though scientists have long spoken of soil communities to refer to the organisms involved in soil's ecology, the idea that humans are part of soil communities is not a prevailing one in the scientific literature. Scientific illustrations of the soil food web rarely represent humans as part of this relational web. For example, as producers of organic waste and beneficiaries of the output of plants. This could be connected to the traditional role given to the anthropogenic element in soil scientific literature, where it is generally considered as one element of soil's ecosystems and formation processes that lies apart because of the higher impact of its activities in a shorter amount of time than other organisms. The human mostly features as an unbalanced eruption in soil's ecological cycles, or a victim in the case of soil pollution, rather than as a member of a soil community. Soil Times, The Pace of Ecological Care, page 195. The soil food web model is interesting in this regard because it has become, beyond science, a symbol of alternative ecological involvement, particularly in ecological movements where alternative visions of soil practice are being developed, such as agroecology, permaculture, and other radical approaches to agricultural practice. It is in these conceptions that transformative trends and soil relationalities can be most visibly for how they foster a different relation of care, one susceptible to alter the linear nature of future-oriented techno-scientific productionist extraction in anthropocentric timescapes.
Extract from Maria Pluck de la Bella Casa, Ein Gefüge vernachlässigter Dinge, Assembling Neglected Things, in Ökologie der Sorge, Vienna, Transversal Texts, 2017, page 152 and page 182 to 184. Wir können über den Unterschied zwischen den Aussagen Ich bin besorgt und Ich sorge mich, I'm concerned, I care, nachdenken. Die erste bezeichnet Besorgnis und Nachdenklichkeit über eine Frage sowie das Faktum der Zugehörigkeit zu den von ihr Betroffenen. Die zweite fügt ein starkes Gefühl der Verbundenheit und Hingabe für etwas hinzu. Darüber hinaus wird die Qualität von Sorge leichter in ein Verb verwandelt, sich sorgen. Man kann aus sich selbst heraus über etwas besorgt sein, aber sich zu sorgen lenkt uns stärker auf eine Vorstellung von materiellem Tun. Sorge tragen als etwas zu verstehen, das wir tun, erweitert die Vorstellung von Sorge als eine ethisch und politisch aufgeladene Praxis, die für das feministische Interesse an abgewerteten Arbeiten immer im Vordergrund stand. Der Begriff der Sachen, der Sorge, ist ein Vorschlag, mit dem gedacht werden soll, anstatt eine Methode zur Enthüllung dessen anzuzeigen, was Tatsachen sind, schlägt der Begriff vor, dass wir aus ihnen machen, was benötigt wird, um mehr Sorgebeziehungen zu generieren. Es ist also nicht so sehr ein Begriff, der die Konstruktion der Dinge erklärt, als ein Vorschlag dazu, wie diejenigen, die Dinge studieren, an ihren möglichen Werden teilnehmen können. Ich habe gesagt, dass die Verpflichtung, sich zu sorgen, eine spekulative Anstrengung sein kann, zu denken, wie Dinge anders sein könnten. Hieraus folgt auch eine konstruktivistische Geste in dem von Isabelle Stengert befürworteten Sinn, eine Antwort auf ein Problem zu konstruieren. Mein Problem war, können wir durch eine sorgfältige Inszenierung, wie Dinge zusammenhalten, zu nachhaltigeren Lebensbedingungen und Relationalitäten des Sorgetragens in einer schmerzlichen Welt beitragen? Letztlich ist das, was als Problem wahrgenommen wird, immer situiert. Eine partielle Intervention. Meine Intervention wurde von feministischen Interventionen in die Science and Technology Studies affiziert und geformt. Die Antwort geht also so. Ich glaube, dass Sorgetragen nicht eine Option ist, sondern eine lebenswichtige Notwendigkeit in unserer technowissenschaftlichen Welt. Und nichts hält in einer lebenswerten Weise zusammen ohne sorgende Beziehungen. Die Art und Weise, wie das Sorgetragen von Bedeutung ist, ist kein Grund für Beunruhigung. Sie öffnet nicht die Tür zu einer kohärenten Theorie oder dem tröstenden Gefühl, dass die Unsicherheiten um die Technowissenschaften gelöst würden, wenn wir uns bloß wirklich sorgen würden. Sorge vermeidet die einfache Kategorisierung. Eine bestimmte Art, sich hier zu sorgen, könnte woanders töten. Beim Sorgetragen geht es eher um ein transformatives Ethos als um eine ethische Anwendung. Wir müssen in jeder Situation fragen, wie zu sorgen ist. Dies ist auf die Weisen abgestimmt, wie die Science and Technology Studies vor Ort denken. Es erlaubt eine Annäherung an die Ethikalität, die in soziotechnischen Gefügen in einer alltäglichen und pragmatischen Weise involviert ist. Aber die Formulierung der Notwendigkeit von Sorge als einer offenen Frage fügt eine weitere Voraussetzung für den Konstruktivismus hinzu. Eine spekulative Verpflichtung zu kultivieren, um damit zu lebenswerten Welten beizutragen. Als transformatives Ethos ist die Sorge eine lebende Technologie mit lebenswichtigen materiellen Implikationen für menschliche und nichtmenschliche Welten.